This is the Inside Track podcast by the BVRLA. Join us as we speak to high-profile guests from across rental, leasing and fleet as they discuss their careers, react to the latest news and look at what may be coming in the future. Hi and welcome to the next episode of the Inside Track podcast from the BVRLA. This episode forms part of our Shine a Light series, but sees us handing the reins over to Ralph Morton and the Broker News team. Through its Women in Broking series, Broker News profiles inspiring female colleagues working in the sector and looks at their pathways to success. Here, Ralph is joined by a panel of women leading the way in leasing broking. In the upcoming conversation, they cover the current trends impacting the sector, as well as what it means to build a career in a typically male-dominated world. Over to Ralph.
Broker News podcast for the BVRLA to celebrate International Women's Day. This is Ralph Morton, and I'm the editor of Broker News. Now, at Broker News, we are very keen to promote diversity in the sector, in what has been a traditionally male-dominated sector. Our features on Women in Broking have been very popular, and this year we are planning a series of Women in Broking events, helped by our steering committee. The leasing broker members of the steering committee are here to take part in this podcast today. So I would like to welcome our guests, starting with Sam Ward, who was the winner of our inaugural Women in Broking Award. Sam.
Hey Ralph, thank you. Yeah, I'm Sam Ward, Managing Director at Vans Direct. And yes, honoured to have won the award for the Women in Broking Award. Thank you, Ralph.
Next up, we also have Hannah Louise.
Hi, Hannah Louise here. Hannah Louise Kirkpatrick. I'm the director of Harmoto. We're broker supporting businesses with their fleets. Thanks for having me.
And also here is Laura Muir.
Hi, thank you, Ralph. So Laura Muir, I work with a company called Fleet Alliance, head office in Glasgow, and I work alongside brokers within the UK as representation to the market. So looking forward to this. So thank you for inviting me.
Terrific. Look, thank you all for taking part today. I'd like to start our discussion, perhaps not about the role of women in the sector. I know this is for International Women's Day, but what about the state of play in the leasing broker sector? You're all three of you cover very different sectors of the market. Perhaps we could start with you, Sam. How are you seeing the market at the moment?
Well, we've had a positive start to the year, echoed by the stats that come out from the SMMT. We've seen growth, and that's been evident in our customer orders. We've seen an uptake on our customer inquiries around electric vehicles as well, and we continue to support businesses with the transition to electric, with a particular focus on payload demands, range, charging solutions, and so on. So overall, a positive start, but I know, as discussing earlier on, there's just a little bit longer for customers making decisions, but definitely we're seeing some consumer demand increasing.
Sam, do you see that consumer demand in electric vans? It's always been a bit of an issue. You know, they don't go far enough when you load them up. They don't go far enough. Is that changing, do you see?
I wouldn't say the demand is changing as such, but there's more conversations taking place now. There's more customers willing to enter a conversation around electric vehicles. There's still a lot of education required. And what we're doing to support our customers is making sure that our team are trained and they've got all of the information they need in order to make, in order to allow the customer to make an informed decision. So there's more demand in terms of the conversation piece around what would electric look like for my business. That's something that we're noticing more of now.
Okay. And Hannah Louise, there's been a lot of talk about EV demand sort of slackening and so on. Is that what you're seeing in the broker market?
In terms of Harmoto, one of our key areas for growth is our salary exchange scheme or salary sacrifice scheme. So we're seeing EVs for us are obviously very popular because of the life schemes that we've got with our clients. So there's a huge amount of demand in that sector. I think one of the things that, like Sam was saying, that we're seeing is potentially perhaps this time of year with cost of living and everything for that particular segment of clients, it's potentially taking them a little longer to make decisions, and that might be due to interest rates. But we're definitely seeing in terms of supply, because the supply is there and supply is improving, we are able to offer clients a wider range of what that meets their needs, essentially. More broadly, I think in terms of the state of play for us at the moment, we're conducting quite a significant amount of fleet audits with our SME businesses and mid-market businesses that we're going out to see. And one of the key challenges for those businesses is absolutely just not having a dedicated fleet manager, and how brokers that can provide additional services and support to them. That's really kind of ticking the boxes for the customers that we're speaking to, because as always, sometimes fleet is from a side of a desk with the businesses that we're working with, because they don't have a dedicated fleet manager. So that's kind of what we're seeing at the moment, but it's definitely in terms of EVs, still the demand there, just might be taking a bit longer for people to make decisions.
Sure. And Laura, is that the same for you? Because Fleet Alliance looks after the SME sector in particular, but also larger corporates. Do you see EV demand slacking or just growing?
Yeah, so to touch on, as I said, what Hannah-Lee has also said, I think Fleet Alliance, with it being predominantly the SME market and the consultation approach that we take with EV, we don't see it slowing personally in our operation. And I think seeing new models coming into the marketplace, like the Fisker, the BYD, they very much is still consistently talking about, you know, EV, you're talking about corporate carbon footprint reduction. It really is, from an SME and major accounts, is the focal point for all companies. So I think when we talk about maybe a reduction with the EV and what we see in media, is perhaps more a regulated individual approach, sole trader type environment. So certainly from our perspective, our pipeline, and even from an order bank this year, we're seeing predominant order to invoice being heavy and good turnaround in terms of getting deliveries out to clients as well. There's much more stock available in a lot of EVs too, for availability. So last year, obviously, we had some delays, as we all know, within this sector, you know, diversity we have to do in terms of looking at options, and with salary sacrifice, bringing in those employees into the EV sector as well. It's the complete buy-in that we've got. So yeah, I don't personally see it at this present time.
Okay, so perhaps there's rather more optimism in the sector than perhaps we seeing in the media. Is that something you would agree with, Laura?
Personally, yes. I think media, knowing what we know about media, it depends how somebody wants to spin perhaps certain stories and whatnot. But from facts in this vehicle sector and looking at what we've got in pipeline, certainly there's a lot of interest. We've also got that infrastructure. So I think the questions come from, you know, the charging areas, and part of our 360 consultation is making sure that, you know, is that driver ready to go into EV? So it's, you know, there is that consultation which gives the confidence for the employee's employer to take things forward. I think, as again, Hannah-Lee and Sam said, it's having that named relationship account manager that gives direction and answers questions, is trained to understand, you know, the EV sector as well.
Sure. And Sam, just quickly, Laura mentioned the ESG agenda. Is that filtering through to commercial vehicle fleets as well?
Yeah, we are seeing that more now. More of that governance filtering through, yes.
Okay. Look, I think we've done enough on the sector, and it seems to be sort of rather more upbeat, even if it is slightly slower at the moment. But let's turn into our next item on the agenda, which is, what's it like to be female in a male-dominated industry? Perhaps I could start with Sam first, because you're managing director of Vans Direct. It's you're not only heading up a brokerage, which is male dominated, but you're in commercial vehicle sector, which is possibly more of the same. So tell us a bit more about that and your how you cope with it, how you got there.
Okay. I mean, an interesting fact for Vans Direct is actually 50, we're really evenly split on the male and female colleagues. So we've got, a good split there. But I think that's because of the type of setup that we are, being an online van retailer. We've got like a customer, like a contact center type environment, which is a little bit different to other setups within the industry. For me, when I joined Vans Direct, I knew nothing about vans and never thought that I'd be as excited as I am now about vans, and didn't really know the huge variety of roles that are available. I mean, just me personally, in the 8 years that I've worked at Vans Direct, I'm in my sixth role. So there's a huge variety available, and I don't think that that's promoted widely enough. It's a brilliant sector to work in, automotive. There really is a role to suit everybody. And I personally love the continuous change and the variety. It's developed me not just commercially, but personally as well. There's no day's ever the same, and there's lots of challenges, but that's who makes me who I am today. When I first joined, I was setting up the training function. So Vans Direct didn't have a training function at the time. So I made it my business to learn every part of the organization, which I didn't know then actually set me in good stead for where I am today, because I'm now in a position where I understand all aspects of the business. Just puts me in a really strong position and made it possible for me to be in the position that I am today. On the male-dominated side of things, I mean, as a group, yes, it is male-dominated and the industry. I've been very fortunate that I've worked with hugely supportive men as well as women. So I've only got a positive opinion on working in a male-dominated industry. I know that's not the same for everybody, and I know that it can be quite daunting, but I think that hearing like this kind of platform that you're encouraging, you know, hearing from women like myself and Laura and Hannah that have got, you know, more positive experiences, it's going to then set up other females to, you know, encourage them to look for roles within the industry.
Thank you, Sam. Anna Louise, I'd just like to ask your approach. You've got two women in your business, I think, or is it three? I can't quite recall. But what was it like?
We're a trio.
We're a trio. So what's it like going out to the market? And people go, well, you're a woman. Do you find there's any issues with that, or do you find you just get simply respect?
I think we're actually reflecting, it may be different in for different organizations, but for the type of organizations that we're going to see, whether it be our salary sacrifice customers that may have 100 to 1,000 colleagues, over to an SME mid-market business that has 100 vehicles on their fleet, we probably don't directly reflect, because we probably need a male in our to add to our trio. But I think we quite well reflect the types of organisations that we're going to see. So I think the only difference that I see coming into this sector as well, reasonably recently, is actually more. I'd love to see more female owners of brokerages in this sector. So one thing I have found is that having worked in two separate male-dominated industries is probably having to work harder to demonstrate that I was capable of my role, I would say, over the years. Or maybe that was something that a bit of imposter syndrome, you know, in my mind, that I felt like I had to, even though actually maybe I might not have had to. So absolutely echoing what Sam said in terms of the role model piece, because this kind of program and scheme where we're actually highlighting female role models in the industry can only encourage female talent in the industry to go for that promotion that they might have thought, I don't know, 20% of that role, I'm not sure I'll apply, but actually let's go for this anyway, because it just, this, you know, we've got such positivity around what we're doing that that can only rub off on colleagues across many businesses across the sector. So yeah, they're my thoughts on the male-dominated industry that is broking. But yeah, definitely from a customer perspective, I feel like we match really what they're looking for and try to keep it diverse.
Sure. Laura, I'd just like to pick up a point that Hannah Louise made there about sort of imposter syndrome and having to work harder versus male counterparts. Is that something you found, or you found you had to do, or not?
So I think, again, 20 years working within Fleet Alliance, I've not experienced other channels, dealerships and whatnot. So I would say, personally, when I joined Fleet Alliance, it was an administration role, and that was my purpose of thinking that would be where I would sit within a sector, but that was just based on my skill set at that point. Taking the job and the mentors that I had, again, mirroring what Sam and Hannah is saying, is they actually became very strong mentors through the business to provide me with skill set. Again, Sam had said, the more you know about the business and the operation that you're given. So I've certainly not felt that I have worked harder to gain to get the skill set, because it wasn't there before, but the means to obtain them were given to me because they saw that you were wanting to do well within the business and engage with the business and see it develop and grow. So it's certainly been there for me. I don't think I'm alone with that, especially, I say, this group is enlightened to the support that we are getting. Fleet Alliance, again, is, you know, non-gender specific in terms of people for roles, and we've touched on that in previous articles. But I think what I would say in the market, the industry that we're in, is I don't necessarily think it's people that in the industry that think it's necessarily male-dominated. I think we all feel equal to opportunities and what we're capable to bring. I do think it's sectors out with this industry that perhaps have that perception that it is very much male-dominated. And I think probably from a generational perspective, males and females probably had this built in of what they should be doing as their roles. And that has very dramatically changed over the last decade, I would say. So that's kind of where I stand. I think it's, we need to use these podcasts and the group that we're talking about is getting the message out to capable people that, you know, get into this industry, is the message.
Mm-hmm. So Laura, would you say that inclusivity is improving then?
I would agree, and I think it's just becoming more transparent as we speak with other women within this industry. And it's not specific to one brand. It's across the sector. And the funders, the ancillary finance houses that we utilise as well, there's so many female contacts there, whether it be middle management, senior management, director level. So, yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree with that, Ralph.
Okay, so maybe it's just more some of the brokerages that are much more male dominated. So that really brings me on to my next question for you, and it's, what advice would you give to women considering a career in broking? You three have made it to senior positions within the industry, but if you look around, there's a lot of males there. What would you be saying, Sam, to a young woman coming into the industry or thinking about their career steps?
I would say absolutely go for it. There's nothing that a man can do in this industry that a woman can't. And I think that we're all equal. and very much based on meritocracy rather than our gender. Like I've said, I've found the automotive sector fantastic. It's offered me a real career path. I think to echo what Laura's just said, companies are driving real change now for inclusivity. There's a lot more flexibility in the workplace, which particularly is going to support females. But we do need to do more, in my opinion, as an industry to better market the wide range of roles that are available and get in at an earlier age. So at school level, colleges, university, just to let them know what career paths there are within our industry. Because I've always been an advocate for making yourself valuable, which then will aid to your success. And I think that by getting in there early mm-hmm. and building yourself that career path by learning all about the business, then you'll be formidable. So yeah, absolutely go for it.
Hannah Louise, you spent your earlier life in banking, another area that's traditionally quite male dominated. And then you decided to take up broking. What advice would you give to women considering a career?
I'd absolutely echo what the ladies have said today, which is pull on your network of supporters. If you work hard for people, they will support you and they'll be sponsors for you later on in your career. And one of the things that I've found coming into this particular sector is, there's some fantastic, helpful brokers out there that if you feel a little bit lonely sometimes in your particular role, they'll come and help you and they'll provide some advice. And even, having our network, our Women's Network Committee that we've had just meeting Sam and Laura and all of the team at Broker News been absolutely fantastic support for me mm-hmm. particularly. But in terms of like network of supporters, and one of the things that I would say as well is for females looking to kind of come into the industry and progress in the industry is get a mentor. So, mentors are invaluable in any industry, in any role, but particularly when the ladies have talked about looking broadly across the organisation and upskilling yourself to make sure that you really understand the nuts and bolts of an organisation and each role. Actually, a mentor can help guide you with that as well in terms of what your next steps might be. And I think potentially we can encourage mentoring across the women's network within the broking sector as well, which would be a fantastic thing to see. And obviously, I'm really proud of my transition, but it could be from any industry into broking because effectively, like Sam was saying, there's a role for everybody in this industry.
Yeah, it's great. It's interesting that you mentioned mentoring there, Hannah-Louise, because that's something that you mentioned as well, Laura, as important to your career development within Fleet Alliance. Is what would be your key piece of advice, Laura, to a woman coming into the sector?
So actually coming into the sector, I would say in terms of the roles itself, as Sam said, I think a lot of people just assume it's sales within the broker piece. A lot of it is, looking at your relationship, the communication that you're using, your own ability. You're not looking to take from anyone else. You're just looking for that growth and the opportunity to do well. So, yeah, I think you need anybody in any job. I don't think you would go into having a gender question over male, female. They're going to get the role. You have to work hard. And I think hard work and dedication and understanding the company that you work with puts you in good stead. And again, it's just taking guidance and advice and mentor from those around you and external groups as well. There's so much available to men and women, but in this particular case for women to kind of partner up and support one another, as I've seen. So I think, as I said, generally, if you look at it, just what are your key skill sets, and don't be afraid to try something. And if it's not for you, take the skills you get from that and try something else. Don't feel that you have to sit in one role or leave because that part of the industry doesn't quite suit you as a person. As I said, jumped from different roles as well, as has have us all, I'm quite sure, but you learn and you grow as you do that. So biggest advice would be get into it, understand the business, find where your niche sits, develop it, and your confidence naturally then grows from there.
That's a good piece of advice. If the first role you're in doesn't quite fit, then just mm-hmm. choose another one that does actually fit your skill sets and your character. Yeah. Well, look, thank you very much all for taking part in this podcast for International Women's Day. And thank you also for your help, along with our editorial colleagues, Laura Lerwill and Sarah Tews, for helping guide our Women in Broking Steering Committee. And we look forward to putting on some events later in the year. So thank you very much once again, Sam, Laura, and Hannah Louise.
Thank you very
much. Thank you. Thanks, Ralph.
I hope you enjoyed the episode. Thanks to Ralph and the panel for supporting our Shine a Light series. Keep your eyes open for events in this space from Broker News later in the year. In the meantime, you can stay up to date with the series through the main Inside Track podcast feed and via the BVRLA website.
Thank you for listening. Please leave a 5-star rating on your podcast platform if you enjoyed this. If you would like to join as a guest, email digital@bvrla.co.uk.